here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, June 8th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. It was definitely an interesting week for broader markets as the S&P 500 was stopped just short of its fifth consecutive positive day on Thursday. The NASDAQ tumbled about 0.7% after three straight days of record high closes as well. Meanwhile, gains from the likes of McDonald's breathed some life into the Dow.
Yes, and I believe all three indexes lower at the open on Friday morning. We'll get into a few of the broader headlines that have inspired this week's trading as we progress through today's episode. But first, we're going to touch base with a couple of popular companies that were trending over the past few days.
Yeah, the first of those is Starbucks, which snagged headlines earlier this week thanks to an impending shakeup in its leadership team.
Yeah, so longtime Starbucks CEO and current executive chairman Howard Schultz announced his decision to leave the company after about four decades. Yeah,
but he's not the current CEO.
No, he stepped down as CEO, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
Has been serving in an executive chairman role since then. He's going to be succeeded by former JCPenney chief executive Myron E. Mike Ullman. I believe it just goes by Mike. That is officially going to happen. He's going to officially resign from the board on June 26th. So the visionary really steadily built the world's largest coffee business, now boasting over 28,000 stores across 77 countries. Obviously, a really interesting stock to follow. Has gone up 19,000% since its IPO in the early 90s. Been a really interesting journey for Starbucks from an investing perspective. So Schultz first joined the company in the early 1980s. He held the CEO position for a while and then resigned in 2000. And then he came back to the CEO position in 2008 when the coffee giant was grappling with challenges posed by the 2008 financial crisis. And then, as you mentioned, he resigned for the second time as CEO last year and then took that executive chairman role and was focusing on innovation and social impact projects while holding that position. Following his departure at the end of June, he's still going to be overseeing the Starbucks Reserve roasteries in Milan and New York City. And he also is reportedly working on a book about the company's social impact work.
I think there's a roastery opening up in Chicago, or at least I think that's what it is. On Michigan Avenue, there is a huge Crate and Barrel, what used to be a Crate and Barrel. It's now becoming a Starbucks. It's like a 5 or 6 story building. It's literally going to become a flagship Starbucks.
I think it's their biggest one, actually.
It's going to be, yeah. So it's going to be, there's going to be a pizza thing in it, a boulangerie, a freaking rooftop on it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing. It's already under construction. I think it's going to open like late next year. So clearly going to be the first in line.
Yep.
This is, I think, what Howard Schultz is known for, is these really innovative ideas in coffee and in the coffee industry. And I mean, I'm very excited for it, clearly.
Especially over the last couple of years, yeah, his focus has definitely been on these innovative new projects as Starbucks kind of enters another of its many, many phases as a company.
Because it's not a growth company anymore. So what can Starbucks do next? It has to be innovative. It has to be dynamic.
So those Reserve roasteries are definitely, we think we've talked a couple times about those on the show in terms of what they mean for the company. Schultz, where does he go from here? Immediately sparked rumors of a presidential run in 2020.
Oh, it was like that.
Yeah. He said specifically that he's going to explore career options in philanthropy and public service. Service meaning politics, you would think. So just to kind of discuss his politics a little bit, he's a self-proclaimed independent. He endorsed Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential election. He supported the Affordable Care Act relatively publicly. And then he has also received awards for his support of Israel. So got a little bit of both sides of the coin. I know one of the things he's very public about is balancing the budget and fiscal responsibility. So who knows at this point? I don't want to speculate too much on chances here. We've got everything's still up in the air from the Democrats. It'll be interesting to see if the Republicans primary their sitting president. It'll be interesting to see if there's more conservative third-party candidates. This is obviously would be a major, major independent candidate with a lot of name recognition. I don't even want to start thinking about it now. It's got a couple years.
I mean, but we have to start thinking about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's the thing.
Ugh. Seemed like the last election cycle just happened, and now we're going to get another one. So,
But I think I will. I mean, I personally don't want to see another businessman in the White House. So,
with no political experience.
Experience. I guess that. I don't want to see anyone in the White House with no political experience again.
It's going so well this time around. So moving on. We'll touch more on the latest in the...
But don't get me wrong. Love Starbucks.
Yes.
Starbucks
diehard.
It's a
good company. And I think when you look at like the social side of things, there's going to be, you know, a lot of support from people who know that Starbucks is a pretty well-run company ethically run notoriously through its years. So that could certainly be something that rallies a certain base of people.
Sure.
So we'll see where that goes. I think, you know, if anything, this is the first big name, someone with a lot of name recognition is based almost confirmed at this point, because we've had a lot of speculation. Like we had an Oprah rumor for a while. We had the Rock rumor for a while.
Speaking of the Rock.
Yes. Speaking of the Rock.
Pivot.
Very rarely can you say speaking of the Rock and pivot to something
about
the Rock.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson and Under Armour. So shares of Under Armour popped on Monday after analysts from Stifel said the sports apparel giant was making significant changes. So changes should be apparent in its financial results. And so analysts were citing management's renewed focus on operating efficiency, expense control, resource allocation, and commitment to earnings. Stifel set a $27 price target for Under Armour, which is about 27% higher than last week's close. This has not been fully realized in the company's actual numbers just yet, with better than expected Q1 revenue results definitely being overshadowed by concerns about sluggish gross margins. But Stifel believes that this should soon change thanks to demand and inventory improvements. Now, The Rock.
Speaking of demand,
on Tuesday, the stock surged even higher, and the stock is UAA, the ticker for anyone wondering. The stock was up on the back of news that Dwayne The Rock Johnson's new shoes sold out extremely quickly. Under Armour released The Rock's Project Rock 1 men's training shoes on Memorial Day. The shoes reportedly sold out in 30 minutes.
Amazing.
According to analysts wrote that, quote, "We believe that the limited availability and subsequent restocking is part of the company's plan for managing the franchise to generate buzz and promote a call to action. CTAs are very important and represents a positive for brand equity." Now, clearly, everyone loves The Rock.
Yeah, I would say
Democrats, Republicans, independents, libertarians.
I don't want to say super
far
outrageous.
Rights, far lefts. Who doesn't love The Rock?
I think he's got to be one of the most well-liked people in America, certainly, but potentially on Earth.
On Earth, everyone loves
The
Rock.
He's relatively scandal-free. His popularity stretches through many different communities. He's a mega superstar, movie superstar at this point. Was like the highest grossing actor of 2016 or 2017. Just,
right.
I mean, what's not
so,
to like?
So, I will say, one, the sneaker wasn't that bad looking.
No,
it was actually
cool.
A great looking
cool.
sneaker.
Yeah, because everything he does is cool. Why would he right. sign off on not cool looking shoes?
Two, Jumanji was a great movie. Loved it. Can't wait for the sequel.
Better than expected.
Three, when the rumor that he was running for president in 2020, I wasn't like dismayed, even though I definitely don't want a celebrity in the White House, but I was like, The Rock? It's just because he's so unhateable.
Yeah, he's very charismatic.
That's such a good
word. I'd wear his training
the
shoes.
Charisma.
I'd see his movies.
Just imagine.
I'd vote for him for president.
Just imagine the swag at his campaign
Give
rallies.
Me everything The Rock. I need all The Rock. Who would he even run with? It's like hard. How do you even stand next to The Rock and try to be as cool? You can't.
Kevin Hart. I mean, he would have to be the VP.
Oh, God. What an unbelievable situation we've put ourselves in as a country where we're like legitimately talking about the Dwayne The Rock Johnson running for president.
2020. Meanwhile, so back to Under Armour. So the company is in the midst of a major 2018 restructuring plan in which UAA expects to spend between $110 million to $130 million this year. Really just trying to turn itself around. It's really, the last few years has been hashtag a struggle, especially in comparison to Nike and Adidas, which are its two biggest competitors. But hopefully with campaigns like this, Project Rock One, it will be able to bounce back.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the analysts citing, you know, improve, it should hopefully be improving soon in terms of margins and demand and stuff. When you're an apparel company, you have to get those things right. You have to get your inventory right. You have to get your trends right.
Yeah, inventory is really important for any retailer. And trends are really hard to get right because a lot of that is you're predicting what trends are going to be a season ahead, two seasons ahead, years ahead at sometimes. And that sometimes you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. Especially when your two biggest competitors are Nike and Adidas, who are just the kings of getting that right.
Exactly.
So,
but this could be definitely a step in the right direction.
Definitely. Moving on, another trendy story this week. We learned that Microsoft is set to buy GitHub, which is one of the world's biggest software development platforms and boasts over 28 million developers, for $7.5 billion in an all-stock deal. So I thought that was interesting when I first was reading through this because, you know, we've been talking about mergers and acquisitions now for a little bit, in the sense that, like, are we going to get a big blockbuster purchase with this tax reform thing incentivizing these tech companies to bring some of their overseas cash back home? Microsoft has about $130 billion in cash, so that's pretty much a lot of money.
Some coin.
But either way, I mean, they decided to spend none of it on this. So $7.5 billion in all Microsoft stock for GitHub. Started in 2007, GitHub's open source approach is widely popular among software developers and allows people to study and learn from other users' code and then take it, modify it, change it, and redistribute the code for their own purposes. So in other words, basically, you know, when you're talking about certain tools and features that you would need in certain software, a lot of things are transferable and a lot of things that you would need in a program you're working on, someone else has already done somewhere before. To save yourself a bunch of time and effort, you can just go to a place like GitHub and be like, oh, this type of button that I need for this program, boom, someone already has that code. Let me just copy paste it into my own code. And they really like promote this, like share everything. Everything's open source. Take something someone else has done and build upon it. It's a very interesting community. There's about 1.8 million, almost 2 million businesses and organizations that use their open source platform. And Microsoft in the announcement actually claimed to be the most active user there in terms of organizations. So already familiar with each other. Certainly, GitHub was last valued at $2 billion in 2015. Moving forward, a current Microsoft VP, Nat Friedman, is going to take over as GitHub CEO. Current GitHub CEO and co-founder Chris Wanstrath will move into a new position as a technical fellow at Microsoft. But then other than that, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said GitHub will continue to be run relatively independently. I know a couple developers that use GitHub frequently, and I think the concern immediately was definitely like, don't touch my baby, like don't touch my darling child, like we can't have this, anything but this. But I think it was comforting for those people to hear that I don't think Microsoft has any major plans to change operations there. I just wanted to note before moving on from this story, not too long ago when Steve Ballmer was in charge of Microsoft, he was calling open source cancer to the software business. So it's nice to see relatively quickly after those comments were made, Microsoft is embracing the open source approach and buying one of the most notable open source development platforms.
Yeah. And wasn't Google also in talks with GitHub?
Or didn't they want to buy it as well?
I don't know. I honestly, I have no idea. I had not heard had not heard any sort of like mumblings about any sort of deal going down here until we came in on Monday, I think is when it was announced.
Okay.
Took me by surprise. Maybe there were rumors out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just Google was interested and then Microsoft was like,
snagged it first. It. Gotcha. All right. So moving on, one last thing as we've been hinting at, a lot of new developments in terms of economic diplomacy, as we'll call it, this week. Maddie, why don't you fill us in on the key details
there? Investors are still desperately looking for some surefire signs that the global economic growth will not be disrupted by some trade disputes between the U.S. and China, or really the U.S. of any of its key allies.
Yeah.
Sentiment improved slightly on Thursday morning after Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross announced a deal has been reached with China's ZTE. The handset maker will pay a $1 billion fine and work to comply with U.S. regulatory officials, while the U.S. will lift a trade ban on the Chinese company. Still, investors are worried about possible tensions at this upcoming G7 conference. The meeting will feature quite a group. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, Shinzo Abe, Theresa May, brand new Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte, and representatives from the EU. Topics of the 44th meeting between G7 members will include investing in growth that works for everyone, preparing for jobs of the future, advancing gender equality and women's empowerment, and working together on climate change. So it should be a really interesting meeting. An important one that I think it's going to be covered live, like on many news networks next week when it happens. Or
I can't think of anything that this group would disagree about in those group of discussions there. So I think it should go smoothly.
I mean, I would love to be a fly in the wall. I think everyone would. Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what, just this morning to kick things off really nice and smoothly, Donald Trump had a public address ahead of the meetings, kind of like a what are your expectations type of speech. And he mentioned something about the G7 should return to being the G8 by inviting Russia back to the group. Russia is obviously not, it hasn't been the G8. It's been the G7 since Russia annexed Crimea. So, you know, it's a major violation of international law that resulted in that split. And that was starting things off on an interesting note. And then, as you said, the key topics of discussion, I was joking earlier, so should obviously be very polarizing topics of discussion that I think the Trump administration and others in this group.
But the thing is with Trump is that, you know, he like tends to agree with the people that are talking to him in certain situations.
Yeah, the last person he talked to typically.
Yeah. So again, like all of these things are very progressive ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he might be like, I don't know.
Here's one thing I do know for sure. A lot of great video clips of awkward handshakes. And I'm living for it.
Gonna aggressive ones.
Lots of shaking.
Who can shake the hardest? Mm-hmm. Who can shake the longest?
Weird shoulder pats and like hugs and oh yeah.
I can't wait for Angela Merkel's shadiness and long side eyes at Trump because it's just gonna be great.
I mean, I'm very interested in seeing all of these people walk through doors together to see. No, you go. No, you go first. No,
and then,
no,
and
no,
then
no, you go first.
Trump in the end just push his way to the front.
Oh,
America goodness. First.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be rich. There's going to be protests, I'm sure, too. There's typically always protests. I believe it's in Quebec. I don't want to say Quebec City specifically, but I think it is in Quebec.
So. All right.
That does it for us this week. Keep your eye on that. That starts today and then goes also tomorrow. So should be news over the weekend from there. Does it for us on this today's show. As a reminder, you can always shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Feel free to check out all of our exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. Search Zacks Investment Research there and you should be able to find all of our shows. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.